we probably will not be going to the mountaintop today. The Lord has directed my mind on a subject I'd like to preach about rebellion. Brother Pete already brought it out. One account of rebellion against God. When the children of Israel made the golden calf, and they gave an excuse for it. Said, we don't know what's become of Moses. He's not with us. We can't see him. We don't know whether he's coming back or not. And that's the reason they gave anyway for rising up and playing, the Bible says. And then in that frenzy, then they said, well, we'll just make us a god. And the Bible also says, the scoffers say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep and all that, the scoffer says, where's the promise of his coming? And they are rising up to play, and they're making their own gods. Which is idolatry. Let's listen to what the Lord says. Chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Those are some shalls. And the reason that the sins are going to be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The reason that our sins and our transgressions are going to be blotted out is because of the fact that God took that job. He took that satisfaction upon himself to satisfy the justice of God. To take away our sins because we're not able to. And he put it outside the hands of men as far as making the sins that were scarlet white and like wool. Took that out of man's hands. But he still left something in man's hands. And what he left in man's hands was willingness and obedience. There's a difference between willingness and obedience. He says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. If ye be willing and obedient. You know, there's a lot of people that say, I'm willing. They're willing to think about stuff. They're willing to have that mindset. They're willing to follow the Lord in their minds, but not obedient in the action of it, in carrying out their willingness or their will. Now, I'll tell you, there's many instances in the Scriptures of obedience and disobedience, of rebellion and following God with a pure heart. There's many instances in here. I mean, the whole Scripture you could probably put in one or the other categories about willing people and unwilling people, obedient people and disobedient people. And I want us to remember, while we're talking about this, that there, for my purposes today, there are only three categories of people. There are obedient children of God, disobedient children of God, and then the wicked, which are disobedient. Right? They're born in corruption, and there's no way for them to be obedient to God. But I want us to remember too that the disobedient children of God look no different than the wicked. It's true. It's true. We all have had children that didn't do things that the parents wanted. We've all been disobedient ourselves. We've all had a heart of rebellion. And most times the rebellion is not because it's because you want to go your own way and do your own thing. You don't want to do it. I didn't want to do things my dad's way. My children don't want to do things my way, and their children won't want to do things their way. And we don't want to do things God's way a lot of times, do we? Now, in our day of lack and slack punishment for disobedience and the rearing of our children, then when they grow up, they're certainly not going to be tough on theirs. And you see how after just don't take but a couple generations for things to fall apart as far as the family goes, and we're seeing that every day. But one thing that I thank God that my mother and father did for me was to keep me in check and to keep me in line. And I got whooped a pretty good bit when I was little. I mean, when I was younger, had never been all that little. But when I was younger, I remember having to go out and mama, daddy would be at work and mama was at home, and I'd be disobedient. I'd rebel against her and what she wanted to do. And she'd make me go out and get my own switch. We had a switch bush out there, and it was bad. And she would whoop me, and I never liked it. I never liked it. And I went out one time, and she said, go get a switch, and I thought I was going to be cute. And I went out there, and I got one about that long, and a little real flimsy thing about that long, you know, so she couldn't grab a hold of it good, and then she got one. And I wished I'd have got a little bit longer one. Because that was a rough one. I don't necessarily want to talk to you about child rearing today, but I do want us to remember that we're children of God, and we have a heavenly Father that is not slack concerning His promises, none of them. None of His promises. Now, we usually put that in terms of the good stuff, like we're going to be at home in glory with the Lord, and that is true, and He's not slack on that promise either, but He's also not slack on the promise that Paul says. He said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, Talon, I'm going to tell you what sowing means. Sowing is not taking a needle and thread and putting it and sewing cloth together. When the Bible talks about sowing, S-O-W-I-N-G, it's talking about planting stuff into the ground. When you plant a seed in the ground, you're sowing something. You're sowing that seed, and when you sow a seed in the ground, it grows up. And the same thing that you plant in the ground is going to be the same fruit that comes when it gets mature. So if you plant corn in the ground, it's going to grow up a corn plant, and it's going to make a bunch of little bitty corn seeds from just one. So what we plant in the ground is going to come up, and it's going to yield the same kind of fruit. If I plant a pear tree, pears are going to be bore on that tree. If I put tomatoes, tomatoes I'll get. That's what that means. God said, if ye be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. He's talking about being willing to follow God and actually doing it. He says, but if you refuse and rebel, it's going to turn out bad for you. I want to talk about a couple cases over here of some rebellion. And this is harsh. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. There was a man of God, and his name was Samuel. Samuel was Hannah's boy, the one that she lent to the Lord. Y'all know that. Y'all know that story. I hope you know that story. I hope you've read your Bible enough to know about who Samuel is. Samuel was a prophet of God, and he was the prophet when the people wanted a king. And the people that wanted, I mean God's people, they had judges and they started murmuring and complaining about that. And then God gave them a king and said, you're going to smart for it. That means you're going to hurt for it. They don't say that too much anymore, Talon, about when somebody would hit their thumb with a hammer, they say, ooh, that smarts. People don't say that anymore, but it means to hurt. God said, you're going to be hurt for having a king and desiring a king when I gave you what you needed. They wanted to be like everybody else. And so God said, okay, I'll give you what you want. Sometimes we get what we want. God gave them a king, and that king was anointed by Samuel and anointed by God. God's hand was upon him in a good way. And he followed God at the beginning. But I'm going to tell you about when God left him. And it's contained in this chapter. Samuel also said unto Saul, this is in verse 1, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim. 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. He was being good to them because they had shown mercy to him. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah unto thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. First rebellion. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, second rebellion, and of the oxen, third, and of the fatlings, fourth, and the lambs, fifth, and all that was good. And I don't know however much that was. And would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed. And that sounds good to me and you, to keep the good and destroy the vile and the refuse, but that's not what God said. What's right in my estimation and what's right in your estimation ain't always right in God's estimation. God told him, you don't spare one thing that they got. You take everything that they've got. I don't care if it's a cat or a dog. You kill it. God was serious about it. How serious was God about it? Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. Now boy, God anointed Saul to be king, and it repented him that he set him up that way. From God's estimation, Saul had done wrong in his eyes. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night, because Samuel and Saul were close. That was his friend. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. That's what Saul told Samuel. I don't know why people think they can get by with lying to God. Or his ministers. You may lie to me. I don't think any of you have. Especially not a big one like this. This is a big one. And I might not know it, but God does. He says, I've performed all the commandment of God. Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleeding? That means, ah. You know how a sheep bleats? What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? The oxen. God told him, you kill everything out there, and you don't leave ox or sheep or ass or camel or nothing alive. And then when Samuel comes, Saul says, I've commanded I've done all the commandments of the Lord. I've followed God and done it just like he said. And then when Samuel comes, he hears, and moo. And he says, I've done it all. He says, no, you hadn't. And Saul said, this was his response to that. They have brought them from the Amalekites. They have. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Do y'all see what's going on here? God told them not to keep anything alive, and the excuse that Saul gave was that we're going to offer this to God. We're going to... That sounds good, don't it? We're going to offer this to God. Wasn't much of an offering, was it? Because it wasn't theirs. They didn't sacrifice anything for that. That's like saying, here, you can have this tissue box. I don't need it. Go ahead. That's not much of a sacrifice. It's not mine. I give you anything you want that's not mine. It's not a sacrifice. And I tell you, when we try to justify our actions, when, especially in the service of God, and try to justify the things that we do that are against God's commandment and against His will, and say that it's going to help us to worship Him better, or say that it's going to help me better in my walk with Christ if I do something that's disobedient, if I don't follow Him or do His commandments, it's not going to turn out good for you if you try to justify things like that. Just a real world example. Had a conversation with a brother for about 3 hours one day, been many years ago now. And we were talking about, I think we're talking about music in the church, musical instruments in the church. And he was willing to come, but he wanted to bring some things in here that God didn't sanction in His Word. He says, I believe whatever, like I think it's in Titus. No, it's in Colossians. I think he says, whatever Paul says, a couple times Paul said, whatever you do unto the Lord, you do it with all your might and you do it heartily. Whatever you do in the service of God, you do it that way. And he broadened that out to include musical instruments in the church, which is no mention of in the New Testament church. You won't find it in there. That's not my subject today. But the point is, I told him, if you're going to take that principle, based on that principle, you might as well... why don't you just go buy some marijuana and we'll just smoke it in the church and call that godly? He says, oh, well, it wouldn't do that. But the principle is the same. It wouldn't go that far, wouldn't it? Think about things today. Look at institutions today that have a name outside that have gotten so far away from the Scriptures and from God's Word and what God said, and see if God's blessing them. Oh, they may have a lot of numbers. They may have a lot of numbers. But that's not what's under consideration. Following God and doing His commandments is of utmost importance for you. You know why this church isn't full this morning? It's because of rebellion. It's because this culture, this world, rebellion is celebrated, as we've seen recently with the pulling down the statues and all that kind of stuff, rewriting history, wanting to rewrite history, not teaching the whole truth. Allowing things to go on in our homes. Allowing things to go on in our workplace. Allowing things to go on in our culture. Little by little by little by little by little. And Satan has gotten a stronghold. Because many of those little things that we allow, God never sanctioned. God never said it was okay. You can insert whatever you want to in there. You can insert anything in there that's against God's word and it'll fit. You can talk about abortion. You can talk about gay marriage. You can talk about anti-Christian sentiment, which is gaining speed. Anything you want to talk about. And it's rebellion against God. The Bible's full of rebellion against God. Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, stay on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Really? And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. I don't think Saul fully understood what all means. Everything. God told him, he didn't say, well, you can leave a few out. The ones that you want to. He says, you destroy them all. But the people took of the spoil. Sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. I think first he said, I did it. I did it so that we could sacrifice. And Samuel said, I want to talk about this too for a minute. Saul says the people did it. Who's the leader of those people? Who was the leader of those people that he accused of doing it? Saul was. Even if Saul didn't physically go out there and grab a sheep up in his arms and said, I'm taking this and this is a good one. Even if he didn't do that, where does the responsibility lie? On the leader. On the leader. On the one that allowed it. Men, women, Children, there are some things that God has entrusted us with that we have authority over, and when we don't exercise that authority, it's going to turn out bad. It's going to turn out bad. It's just that simple. You know how the Bible says, when it is talking about rearing children, and it says, spare not thy hand for his crying in Proverbs. That means if you tell your children, I'm going to whoop you if you do this, and then they do it, and you go get the belt or whatever it is, paddle or whatever it is you're going to use for the punishment, and they start saying, Mama, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, Mama, I'm sorry, Daddy, I didn't mean to do it. And you say, oh, well, that's okay, and you put the belt up, and you don't whoop them. What message are you sending to them? That you're a liar. That's harsh, but in principle, that's what you're doing. You're lying to your children. We are. I can't recall a time when I did that, when I told them that they were going to get a whooping and they didn't get it. Oh, they cried a lot of times. Well, they cried every time I whooped them, but I mean spanked them, disciplined them, whatever it was. But you know what? I always ask them, have I ever changed my mind because of your crying? And they said, no. And I said, okay then, dry it up. And I would always ask them, why are you going to get a spanking? Why are you going to get a spanking? And I talked to them before I did it. And I made them tell me why they thought they were going to get a spanking. And every time they knew. Every time. They never looked at me and said, I don't know why you're spanking me. Why is that? Because I had already told them what I wanted them to do, and they knew what to do, and they didn't do it. Either that, or I told them not to do something, and they did it anyway. The Bible is full of commandments for us. It's full of things that we ought to do. What did Jesus say to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not? To him it is sin. And Samuel said, he says, but the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, chief things which should have been utterly destroyed, and sacrificed unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? I'm going to break that down for you. Samuel says, which one do you think God is pleased more with? In sacrifices and in offerings, are you being obedient to Him and doing what He said? Which one? You judge, Saul. Which one do you think God is happier with? Being obedient or sacrifices? Then he told him some pretty harsh stuff. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken, that means to listen, than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. I want to talk about that for a minute. What is witchcraft? It's the curious arts. It's delving into spirit world that you have no idea about. Witchcraft is really worshiping the creation rather than the creator. Because I have talked with some witches before. I mean real ones. I'm not talking about just people that dress in black. I'm talking about people that actually are witches. And they, you know what they told me? They says, "We're very spiritual." I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. We're very spiritual. We worship the moon. We worship all of Mother Nature and all of those things. The winter solstice. Paganism, really, is what it is. And in their estimation, that's being spiritual. And they're worshiping the creation rather than the creator. I trust that we're worshiping the creator today, and that I'm hopefully bringing some food for you that will be a blessing to you. But let's look. Rebellion against God is just like being and practicing witchcraft. And you might as well just go ahead and worship the creation if you're going to be rebellious against God. Samuel, the man of God, said rebellion is as witchcraft. Not only is it like witchcraft, the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. What is stubbornness? I'm going to do it my way. When you boil it all down, that's what it is. I'm not going to hearken unto God. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to go where I want to go, say what I want to say. I know it's not according to God's word, but I'm going to do it anyway. And do you think, O vain man, O vain woman, O vain children, that you're going to get away with it, that God's going to turn His face because you cry when the punishment comes? Not going to happen. Not going to happen. I want us to remember that being obedient to God in following His commandments, and yes, there are commandments that He gave to us in the New Testament. He told us to pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. He told us to do good unto others. He told us to do good works. He told us to love our brethren. He told us to help those that are in need. He told us to not be slanderous. He told us to follow Him. He gave us instructions on how to live in the kingdom. And when we don't do it that way, there will be punishment. I'm sorry, I didn't set the rules. God did. I'm just reading them to you. Telling you about them. I'm telling me about them. I'm not perfect, as y'all well know. But there's obedience. There's blessings in obedience, right? When God says, son, I want you to join the church, or I want you to be baptized, or I want you to go over here and I want you to help out this brother that's hurting. I want you to give him some money, or I want you to go and mow that old lady's grass, or I want you to go to the store and just get them some food and bring it to them. Or I want you to open up your home to somebody that doesn't have a home. Or I want you to do this or that or whatever it is. That and you do it. There's blessings in obedience, folks. There is. But if we be disobedient and don't do those things that the Spirit leads us to do, or that God commanded in His Word to do, do you think there's any excuse that we could plead before God if there's somebody that's hungry and we don't feed them? Or if somebody asks for our prayers and we don't pray for them? Or if there's somebody that's sick and we don't go see them? Or if there's somebody that is struggling with an issue in their life and we don't talk to them out of the Scriptures and comfort them? Bible says comfort those with the same comfort wherewith you're comforted. Who comforted you? God did. And if God comforted you, He expected you to take that same comfort and you comfort somebody else in that situation. The principle is there about the unjust steward, you know? How when he didn't take care of his master's money, and the master put him out, and he said, you no longer be steward. And he says, I'm going to go, and I'm going to get your money. And he says, I know I can't be steward, but let me do this. And he went back and, he went to the people, and he says, that owed him money. I think his master forgave him, didn't he? One of the stewards, the master forgave him of the things that he owed, and then he went out to the people that owed him money, and he says, I'm going to put you in chains until you pay me everything. Didn't turn out good for him, did it? Because it wasn't according to God's principles. When we follow God, it always turns out good for us. I'm going to give you all a little bit of homework. I want you to read, because I didn't even go there. I want you to read Jeremiah 27 and 28. Here we have a prophet of God. Hananiah, I think, is his name. And Jeremiah. And Hananiah's prophecy was about being under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. I can't get into it. Y'all read. It's good stuff. But Hananiah rebelled against the Lord because the Lord told him, had already prophesied by Jeremiah, that they were going to be in bondage. Hananiah came and said, nope, Lord's going to break that bondage, going to take you out of bondage in a couple years, within the space of 2 years. And God said, you've broken off the bonds of wood, the yoke of wood, and placed a bond of iron on the people. when you don't follow what God says, it not only affects you, but it affects the people around you. It affects your family. It affects your friends. It affects the church. But when we're obedient, it affects the people that are around us. It affects you. It affects your family. It affects the people that you work with. It affects your friends. And it affects the church. But in a totally different way. The good way. If the Lord has called any of you to be obedient to Him and coming and submitting yourself for baptism, you may come during the song service. But remember, there's warning for the rebellious. May the Lord bless you this week to be obedient.